This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
America tonight, the president says he sees a solution to the North Korean crisis. And what is that? That's where we're going to start first. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. Yep, he's saying that there's great chemistry that he has with the Chinese leader. And he's saying he thinks they could find solutions to the trade disputes and the North Korean crisis. So they had these crucial talks, and they are crucial, let's face it, with the nonsense that's happening in North Korea. They said that the morning meeting, or Trump said the morning meeting was excellent in discussing what could be ultimately the best solution. He didn't elaborate on what that is. But, of course, China has a bully pulpit. They have some strings, actually, that they can pull, and that's economic leverage over North Korea. That's the key. So if Pyongyang doesn't want to halt nuclear weapons and missile programs, China can pull those strings. And it's interesting because this is an important trip for the president, since we have interests in Asia and have a lot of, frankly, investment in troops there. So this was the first state visit to China, and it is the traditional honor that they do with presidents, where they have Chinese anthems and ceremonial cannon fires and military honor guards, like what you would expect, all the dress-up stuff that happens when foreign leaders visit the United States, frankly, and they're at the White House. It's that same thing. Although you had a lot of people that were involved in this. You had children in mass waving U.S. and Chinese flags, and, you know, after the president had gone to a tour of the Forbidden City, and then there was an opera and a private dinner, but just that you had a throngs of people coming out, too. So it was public in one sense. That idea of this massive deal between U.S. and Chinese companies is another thing. There's a signing ceremony that's happening, and that's big. But I think the main thrust of this is, what are we going to do about North Korea? What can we do about North Korea? I mean, that's key. And not knowing what that is, it's hard to try to make any kind of a judgment on it, except for to say that I think it's smart that there wasn't any great revelations that came out of it, because let this develop, and then certainly we'll know what that is. Sometimes there's a tendency to throw out too many details, and if that happens, well, then, of course, North Korea would know every single thing that was planned. So naturally, that's what you wouldn't see happen. And this is the day after, meaning now there is some thought as to what happened in this last election. And across the land, who were the people that were elected? And Republicans are trying to figure out what they need to do. And Jeff Flake says the Republicans need more of an inclusive message. He said the Democratic Party's victories nationwide prove that Republicans would do better that way, that there's something that you could learn from. And he's the Republican senator from Arizona who's not going after a second term. He's saying you can rile up the base and win an election here or there, but in the end, you've got to appeal to a broader electorate, to the suburbanites and so many others, too. Because if you look at the residents in Northern Virginia, the suburbs outside of Washington and whatnot, they elected instead the Democrat Ralph Northam over Republican Ed Gillespie. And there was also a lot of Democrats who won races in suburbs outside of New York City and Philadelphia. I don't know that that's a shock to me if you look at the demographics necessarily there. So another election day has come and gone, and there were a few things besides Democrats winning certain seats. There were also a couple of other votes that were important in some states, like Maine voted to expand Medicaid. So they voted to do it by state referendum. 68% of the people reporting late on Tuesday led the charge, and the Republican governor had vetoed Medicaid expansion bills six times. It's not popular with Republicans, but Maine's legislature is almost evenly divided politically with Democrats and Republicans. So now what this does is it makes more people eligible for Medicaid coverage. So that was part of what the deal was there. And again, that was a very big fight in all kinds of directions on what was going to happen in Maine. In the meantime, the situation in Puerto Rico, I've gotten some emails from some of you about what's happening there, and FEMA is going to fly about 3,000 Puerto Ricans to New York and Florida. That's what they're saying. It's that dire. So just a month ago, we were talking about Hurricane Maria slamming into Puerto Rico as a Cat 4 storm. So see how we start off with North Korea and the meeting with the Chinese. Then we move into the Democrats winning a lot of seats this time around, in whether it's a governorship or whether it's a city council seat or whether it's a Senate seat, etc. And then we go into Puerto Rico because those who are politicians on the Hill especially have some say in this. And the island doesn't have electricity in some areas still, running water or food, so FEMA decided 3,000 are out of there and they're going to go to shelters. And these are the survivors. 55 people died during the hurricane or after, which sometimes happens. Most of the territory, including some of the outer islands, still don't have that electricity, still have roads that are closed. And a lot of the hospitals are functioning, but a lot aren't. And so there's thousands of people who are displaced. And now what's being said is there's this urgency and there's this priority that's been given to some people, so that's why that number is that number, and because there's shelters just taking them out of there to try to sort all of this out. It's just that bad. And you want to talk about something that is sorely missing the people that it needs, and that is the Border Patrol. I have a friend that was in television news, and he left and he went to work for the Border Patrol, and he told me that a lot of people were bailing on it. So it's no surprise to me that the Government Accountability Office releases an audit on Wednesday, and it shows that the Border Patrol employed about 19,500 agents as of May 2017, fewer than the figure of 21,370 that had been the legal minimum since 2011. And part of the reason is because it's challenging. You have people there's the hiring requirements, but you have people that decide they're going to leave it. They don't want to do it any longer. And they don't want to be deployed to the least desirable locations. And because the compensation isn't enough for some and they could get more money doing something else, the lure to the Border Patrol isn't quite what it was. Coming up, we dive into that mailbag. Kate Delaney, America Tonight.
Back pain doesn't take vacations. It never celebrates holidays. It's on the job 24/7 to keep your life exactly where it is, in limbo. But it doesn't have to be that way, because Laser Spine Institute can help you take back your life from chronic neck and back pain. With a less than 1-inch incision, our minimally invasive procedures have provided relief to over 60,000 patients with a 97% patient satisfaction rate. So get ready to stand tall and live the life you've imagined for yourself without pain. Are you or a loved one suffering from a bulging disc, herniated disc, spinal stenosis, pinched nerve, or degenerative disc disease? Call our spine care consultants now at
855-510-BACK.
For a no-cost MRI review and to learn more, it's time to say goodbye to chronic neck and back pain.
Call 855-510-BACK to see if laser spine surgery is right for you. That's 855-510-BACK.
What have you got to lose? Laser Spine Institute, the leader in minimally invasive spine surgery.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Want revenge on the common housefly? Well, after 10,000 years, someone has finally come up with a better way. The Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun, which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic and no batteries required. $39.95 plus shipping and handling. Use discount code GCN and receive 15% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter and get your Bug Assault today.
If you want to bang on the digits and knock on the door, I'll let you in at 855-266-5283. It's kind of a plethora of things that we're talking about. So much, I think, is part of the buzz in the last couple of weeks anyway across the land. It's not just one thing. It's several things. Some of it is the heartbreak of these horrific shootings and then the aftermath and the victims that at first they get all the attention and then it slowly goes away because people go back to what their normal, so-called normal lives are. And many of you understand that, and that was part of what the emails consisted of this time around. So on that note, let's check the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Well, thank you. This one is from Taylor, who says, Kate, I really feel as though you have compassion for people. I can hear that in your voice as I've listened to you now for the past year and a half or so. My schedule changes. I don't always get to hear you live, but you mentioned TuneIn. I go there and download the shows and listen when I'm working out and whatnot. So thank you for that. And I agree with you about the victims. It seems as though so much is highlighted with the person who is the evildoer, and then the victims, it's sad, and people gasp, and they can't believe it, and they hug their own children or grandchildren or families tighter. But when you think of the repercussions of the one family losing so many members and a pregnant woman being killed for no reason by some deranged maniac who has it in for his wife and his mother-in-law, it is just beyond what one can process. I really pray for all of those people, and I think that's what we can say about it, other than donating money for funerals and that kind of thing and trying to help the survivors. There's not much more that many of us have to offer, only that in the United States, I think that we really do pull together in a crisis, and I think it's important to embrace those people in Texas who have gone through just evil, evil, hellish, horrible moments in that church on Sunday. Yeah, I would agree with you. It was terrible what happened, and what do you do, and how can you reach out, and what does that look like? And luckily, people are doing at least the things that have helped the survivors, but it's depressing. Okay, so then this one comes to us from Patrick, who says, there's a place reserved in hell for that scumbag who killed those people who were at that church in Texas. No matter how frustrated or crazed or whatever somebody is, to really do what he did, it takes a special kind of evil, and it is just heartbreaking to hear those stories. In fact, Kate, so much so I can't even really watch any of the TV footage of it because I feel just so awful, and it is such a dark time, I think, in our history with some of these shootings. Yeah, coming off of the Vegas thing, and then the thing that happened in New York with the bicyclist, and now this in Texas. And, of course, you know, there's this tendency now to say, whatever, Vegas strong or this area strong, and I think that's good because anything that, if it's a mantra or something that you hang on to and you let the world know we're okay, that's good. But we can't live in fear. I mean, anything can happen anywhere at any moment in our lives, and you know, we know that. I remember after 9/11, as I was close to that situation, since I had moved back east and I was back east and lived through that and was on the air at a big station in New York when that happened. The brilliant thing about it was that New York was really pulled together afterwards and, you know, did what they could to help people, and then went on with life, not letting it tear apart people's lives and what they wanted to do and where they wanted to go. I mean, is it a good idea to be vigilant, to know where exits are, to look around, to do some safety things? Of course. But there is no definites. I mean, anything can happen anywhere. Certainly the bicycle path in Manhattan proved that. What are the odds of you happen to be on a bike at that moment, boom, and the next thing you're no longer with us? You have no clue that that's going to happen. There's no indication. Nobody has any indication of that. And that's the problem. All right, so let's move on to another topic. And let's go to Gabe. Kate, first time that I've written you. I really like the show. I am really paying attention to the president and this trip that he's making, especially his relationship in China and with the Chinese, because they have sway over North Korea economically, and they really hold some big cards, I think, in this whole thing. Do you think they'll stick with the plan to put pressure on North Korea? Well, it's to their advantage. If something should happen and any kind of a war is ignited, that'd be disastrous. China doesn't want that. And they do have some sway, some power, some whatever you want to say. Listen, you strangle off the economics of it, and the situation is the money's not flowing in the direction they want it to in North Korea. So, of course, there is some power there. How it's used and what happens, you know, at this point, we don't know. Then we get this one from Robert. Kate, I don't know if you saw this or but I happen to see this, and I know that you pay attention to sports. So I was wondering if you were eyeballing all these protests that are going on, and what some of the networks are saying about the protests, and why they aren't necessarily showing them. Well, yeah, I do a sports show too on NBC, so I know exactly what you're talking about. And the national anthem protests, are they causing these advertisers to be a little skittish? Well, there was some kind of a fireside chat at a Verizon Media Tech program, And one of the conversations was about football, was about Sunday night football or Thursday night, or what, you know, what's on the table and what's not on the table, and what happened with the Papa John's CEO. And so they say there are a list of advertisers that made themselves clear. If you cover the political coverage of the issue, we're not going to be part of the NFL, because think about it. They have half the country that's cheering about it, and they have half the country that's emailing them saying, don't do that, so that's a real thing. And I get what the advertisers are saying. They have they're paying big money for advertisements. So if half the country hates it and half the country loves it, which is where we're at, of course, on everything, it seems, then the advertiser, pound for pound, feels like they're the losers. And they don't want to be the losers if they're going to spend the money to support the broadcasts. So CBS CEO and chairman Les Moonves said on his evening call that there was no hesitation on the part of any of his network's NFL advertisers, saying, he said, I don't know if one advertiser has pulled out of any of the spots they had. I don't think it's affecting advertising or their desire one iota. But a different story on NBC, they're worried. The NBC Sports Group executive VP of ad sales, Dan Lovinger, told reporters recently that all but a handful of units have been sold for the Super Bowl, with some 30-second spots going for more than 5 million, rather. So the Super Bowl brings in about $350 million from in-game advertising, pre-game, post-game, all that stuff. That's a lot of money. And there is a concern about that. And what's interesting is we keep hearing about drops of listeners or, you know, or viewers. And the Sports Business Journal reported that since the fall TV season started on September 25th, NFL game viewership is 2.5 times bigger than broadcast primetime viewership. And 17 of the top 20 shows that have aired since the start of football season are football game coverage. So, and that money spent on advertising during NFL games increased by 2% in September. So go figure, right? I think a lot of people are just weary of the same thing, of the same storyline for the past year and a half, and I personally believe the NFL screwed up. They could have owned this issue. They could have taken it out of the game and worked on it in the communities with the players, and they have not done that. All right, coming up next, author Larry Friend on his latest children's book here on ATN.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's F-I-V-E starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just $1 a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now, and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free. Call 800-557-0158. That's 800-557-0158. Again, 800-557-0158.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
How do you feel about squirrels? I'm going to introduce you to my pal, Larry Friend, and we've talked to him about Icy the Iceberg. He also has another book called Squirrely the Squirrel and Starlet. It's a children's book, and the boy, the story is so, so clever. So, Larry, once again, thanks so much for joining us. And as always, what drew you to writing about squirrels and making it into a children's book?
Well, what had happened was we had moved from Chicago to Libertyville, and we have 5.5 acres, and our house in the front of the book, my sister did draw our house. It was an old log cabin that was built in 1924, and a lot of people had bought it and added on to it. And I think that one of the people that lived there before me, there was an architect back in the 40s probably. I think he was maybe a student of Frank Lloyd Wright, because the house has a lot of Frank Lloyd Wright features. Well, what he did was he cut out a lot of the logs and he put windows in so you can see right through the house. And then in our bedroom, you go up the spiral staircase. That used to be his office. And that's all with the cantilevered windows and everything. And that's all glass. But then the people that bought it after that, they made that their bedroom. So behind the bed, there's one wall. I love the house because everywhere you're in the house, you get to see the outside. And especially in the morning when you wake up, it's all glass. And we can't put curtains there because of the angle to the Frank Lloyd Wright. But so I used to see all these stories. And my wife, when she got there, she loved birds. So we put feeders up. I started watching the way the squirrels interacted with the feeders and how they would fight with different people and then how they get to the feeders and try the challenge of trying to conquer these feeders. And all the stories in the book are pretty much true. I did see one where during the fall, the squirrels will go out on the end of the maple leaves and they'll try to get the flying wing sort of things, and they get out to eat them and they have to go way out to the end of it. Well, one time I'm in bed and I watch the squirrel fall off and smash to the ground, And I said, wow, that's pretty interesting. So I put that in the book. And then we also had some bird feeders that have a ring at the bottom, and there's a battery in them. And if the birds, it doesn't do anything. But the squirrel, he puts his weight on it, it spins around. It spins around. And my wife was in her office, and she saw one of the squirrels come down and grab a hold of that. And he's spinning around. He's perpendicular, and he's going around and around. And finally, he falls off, and he hits this, like, we have sort of a rock wall there. Hit it and sort of got knocked out and sat there for a while. So all these stories, and watching that, I decided I'm going to write this book about squirrels. So I wrote it, Squirrely the Squirrel. But then I started thinking about my relationship with my wife, who's, we've been married 52 years, but she sort of was like starlet to me. And so I said, you know, I'm going to make it not only a squirrel story, but sort of a love story. And so he met a starlet, and my wife had these real big eyes when I met her. And so I made Starlet, she had her big eyes, and he was fascinated by her eyes and her eyelashes. And so that's how he interacted with her. And it just got to be a cute story, but it's also a love story, and there's a lot of meaning in it.
Yeah, and the idea in writing the story and pulling it together, as in your other book, I'm sure there are life lessons. What are you hoping the life lessons are that kids will get out of this?
Well, Squirrely has quite a few life lessons. One is, Squirrely was a hard worker. That's the way I am. I like to work hard. And he was a hard worker, and his brother was lazy, so he was named Sluggo. And he just did not listen to his father, didn't listen to the warnings about hawks or anything. And he would let Squirrely do all the work under the corn feeder, and he'd just lay there and eat the corn. Well, one day he was taken away by a hawk. So that was sort of a lesson of, you've got to listen to your parents, because they know what to teach you as you get older. But then also later in life, Squirrely would miss Sluggo. He says, you know what, if he hadn't been taken away, could we have changed him? Could we have made him better? And that was one lesson there. The other lesson I had was, when I saw Squirrely fall out of the maple tree and hit the ground, I put in there that that everybody was laughing at him because he fell out of the tree. But he was a very determined squirrel, and he wanted to conquer that particular task. So he kept going up in the tree, and he fell a couple times, and then finally he got it. But in there, I put in there that the hurt of the ridicule to him was worse than the hurt from falling into the ground. So that's sort of a little bit of thing on bullying, but it's, and also don't make fun of people. So that's, then it's also, don't give up on your dreams. You always work towards something, and you're going to be good. So that's why Squirrely was a hard worker. He ended up falling with a starlet, and then he built a house for her, and then they had a family, and that was just the way I liked the life lesson there of trying to be successful in whatever you do.
Wow, that's powerful. And especially, you know, you talk about, dreaming and pursuing and having that goal. And certainly, you know this, Larry, having grandchildren, it's much different times for kids and what they go through, because we live in a technology era. And I like the idea, of course, of reading. And I think, well, you did mention this about the hard book and, you know, having a copy that way and why that matters. Do you think that's good for kids to read that way? Because now so much is done electronically.
Well, it's either way. That's one thing about Litfire, which is good, because they did. See, when I talked to Kate, my ultimate goal was to try to get with Scholastics and possibly get like a cartoon cinema for Squirrely, because he's so cute and his life is so interesting. But so she said, well, in order to get to Scholastic, you have to have reviews. So I went to Blue Ink, and I got to Kirkus, and then she said, now they've changed their format, so you have to have an ebook, you've got to have an audio book. So they've done all that, and Kirkus gave me a very good review on both books, but they really liked Squirrely a lot. The only thing, and they had one criticism, which I sort of liked what I did. What I did was, I had a lot of children read this book and circle words that they didn't understand. I have a feeling that sometimes our school is dumbing people down, and they don't give them these larger words. So what I did is, okay, if you don't know that word, circle it. But what I did was, I italicized those words, and I made them to understand, so children could understand the meaning of the word. And I put a glossary in the back of the book Well, when Kirkus, I don't know if they didn't realize that I was doing that because they said it was sort of a little bit annoying to see the italicized words. But the publisher and everybody else likes that idea. And they said maybe they might want me to do it in Snowy also, because I talked to my granddaughter, and she says, no, Papa, she says, I really like those bigger words. But if you don't know them, they can either find out. I do have an italicized words in Squirrelly, and then I have a glossary, which I think is good. I think sometimes the publisher will something right back and say, that word's pretty big. Well, I think when I was a child, the bigger words, well, you just had to learn what they meant, because that's English. But that's my feeling on that.
Yeah, I like that. It's interesting to delve into this for the people that are listening to us. I would say, and you peeled back the onion a little bit to tell us a little bit about the publishing world. Has that been, that's got to be an interesting experience. Would you tell somebody who had a book inside them not to be afraid and take the leap?
No. And a lot of these publishers, like, Litfire is very, very helpful. And you can have, like the one woman I'm dealing with, Kate, she says some people just send her a pile of papers and she's got to go through them and try to make a book out of it. I don't like to do that. But they are willing, all these self-publishing companies have the ability to, they have editors, they have illustrators.
Yeah.
Squirrelly was not colorized. The pictures were not colorized originally. And they said in order to make it really popular, they should be colorized. So they did colorize all the illustrations in Squirrelly, and it makes the book completely different. Like the picture of the family, because they have Awkwafina and Nutella and Cornelia and then Sluggo, and they did those in color, and it's really adorable. It really is really adorable. So.
You know, and we talked about life lessons, and the same kind of thing is, you know how squirrels sometimes get a bad rap. People try to get rid of squirrels, people shoot at squirrels, people come up with feeders that stop the squirrels. So do you think you might soften the image of the poor squirrel?
I think so, especially now that he's part of a person now, you know, he's lovable and he's cute, because when I used to watch out of the windows when we had a lot of snow to see them, because they bury all their nuts, and that's, I don't know if you saw it in the book, but I came up with this NPS, which is the nut positioning system that Squirrelly came up with, and my sister did it really cute. It has like the tree and then the feeder, and there's arrows, and in his mind he's thinking about where all these nuts are. Well, when there's snow, they don't know where the nuts are, so you'll see them dive into the snow, and then they'll come up out of the snow, and their head's all full of snow, and their eyelashes, and so that's why that story came up, and then that was another thing. One of the bigger words in the book was called Epiphany, and so Squirrelly, he was out after all this huge snow came in. He couldn't locate the nuts, and he was all upset. He says, oh, what am I doing wrong? What am I doing wrong? Then he said he had an epiphany, and he realized that he was starting the wrong way on the yard. After he did that, his nut positioning system was perfect, and he found all these nuts. And then he saw Starlet, who was really, really cold and hungry, and that's how he taught her how to find the nuts. I don't know whether that's double entendre, but he taught his nut positioning system. I don't know. But that was really cute. You know, and that was a true story too. But the only thing with the book is that my sister, Brian, who's very creative, who now he's, in fact, he works for Leo Burnett now. He's in charge of the Nintendo account. But he said, let's make some of this cartoonish. So like the house that he built for the nest is really a house. It looks like a castle. It's not exactly true, but it's sort of cute because Squirrelly sits up out on the deck and he's looking at the sun and looking at the clouds. And so that's not exact, but it's really cute.
I love it. Once again, you can pick up Larry's book, Larry Friend. You can pick it up on Amazon, certainly Barnes & Noble. Larry, continued success, and thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Sometimes life can be a pain in the neck or back or shoulder. Long distance travel or long hours in front of a computer can take its toll on your body. Why take another pill? Treat your aches and pains with Sunshine Pillows. Microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body heating wraps. Sunshine Pillows and wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it, even while driving. Sunshine Pillows are designed with your comfort in mind, will not burn you, and will stay balanced on your body to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunshine Pillows start at just $20. Join hundreds of our happy customers and see why Sunshine Pillows has a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. Click sunshine-pillows.com and take the Sunshine Pillow Challenge. That's sunshine-pillows.com.
Actual testimonials from real Numana customers.
I've tried all kinds of food storage, and Numana is by far the best.
I'm a single mom with two teenage boys and a full-time job. I don't always have time to cook a four-course meal. That's where Numana has been such a blessing. I can spend less time in the kitchen and more time on what matters most, like helping with homework.
Find out for yourself. Order online at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com. Numana is...
The stores I love to eat. Yum!
Thepowermall.com.
BuySellMakeOffer.com is better than ever. I'm Pat Matthews, here to tell you that BuySellMakeOffer.com, the revolutionary site for buying and selling anything and everything, just upped the ante. Go right now to BuySellMakeOffer.com and click the Sign Me Up button. When you do, you'll get the first month free, and then it's just $9.95 a month to be a member forever. And you don't need a credit card for the initial setup. Create your own store on the site and sell whatever you want, as long as it's legal, however you want, and sell an unlimited number of items. Create your own intro video to describe what your store is all about. Use Skype to see who you're buying from or selling to. Sell unused household items, as well as antiques, cars, televisions, collectibles, real estate. The possibilities are unlimited. Use social networks to promote your store right from our site. Remember, there are never any fees, no matter how much you sell. Become a member today. I'm a member. Get all your friends to sign up, too. This could become a great business for you. Sell whatever you want for the first 30 days free at BuySellMakeOffer.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
To the show, Dr. Philip Steeg, a world-renowned neurosurgeon. He is the chairman and founder of the Weill Cornell Brain and Spine Center. And we're going to talk about something really interesting that they have a lot of interesting things going on, frankly. But I think this latest thing that really caught my attention, and I think will catch all of you, the listeners' attention too, is the mission that's going on in Tanzania. So Dr. Steeg, once again, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure, Kate.
So let's talk about Tanzania. First of all, why did you decide you're going to do a program in Tanzania, and what is the Weill Cornell neurosurgery program there? How is it happening?
It's kind of a series of events that occurred almost simultaneously. Originally, it started when Sandy Wild, the major donor here at Weill Cornell Medical Center, also formed a medical school over in Bugando, which is in the northernmost region of Tanzania near Lake Victoria and the Serengeti area. That then allowed us as neurosurgeons to go over there, and at that time, it was primarily in helping them learn how to manage trauma. They didn't even have a neurosurgeon there. So as you can imagine, people having machete and axe accidents and motor vehicle accidents, we were trying to give them some very primitive kinds of care. It eventually morphed into our interaction with what's called the Mohanbili Institute, which is a large medical center in Dar es Salaam, the capital of Tanzania, much further south. And we got involved with the Orthopedic and Neurosurgical Institute there. And that's been for over 10 years now, and it has grown into a very robust relationship, also facilitated by the fact that we developed a relationship with the president of Tanzania at that time, President Kikwete, who was very supportive of the interaction. So it's all these events kind of happening through circumstance, but also because everybody was making themselves available to this project, which is kind of like motherhood and apple pie.
I like that analogy, motherhood and apple pie. So you were there recently, and I'm sure you say this has started 10 years ago, but you've seen things really grow and change and morph. What have you found lately? What's been different from maybe your previous trips?
There has now been the erection of a, it's not even open yet, it's going to open in a month or two, a brand new hospital just north of the city in Dar es Salaam, which is state-of-the-art with new ICU beds, a neurosurgical suite with all of the facilities that, not all, but many of the facilities that we have here in the United States. So this is going to be a quantum jump for them in terms of the kind of care they can provide to patients with neurosurgical disorders.
So obviously there's got to be a great impact of the program for the people of Tanzania based on what you've already just told me, and for patients, I'm assuming, in other parts of Africa, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And it's worked both ways. What happens is on a weekly basis, we have a Skype conference with them where we go over cases, both spinal cases and cranial cases, with their surgeons rendering, you know, dialogue and opinions on how we would manage those. In addition to that, as you know, we've gone over there and we work with them, and we bring some equipment that has to come back with us, but then they get a taste of what it means to have that kind of equipment. And that obviously impacted what they've purchased for this new hospital. But I think most importantly is the fact that we've also had their surgeons come over and spend time with us here in the United States, following us in clinic, following us in the operating room. And then here at Weill Cornell, we have a highly advanced surgical innovations lab where you can do three-dimensional 4K prosections and work on human anatomy to really familiarize yourself with surgical technique. So all of those things, I believe, have helped advance both the technological but also the understanding of their neurosurgeons to expand neurosurgical care in their community.
Yeah, and as far as the neurosurgical care goes, are there more Tanzanians interested in pursuing that? Because I would imagine it's about getting those bright doctors and getting them up to speed, correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. One of the issues when we first started was there was not a training program in Tanzania for neurosurgery. Anybody who wanted to be a neurosurgeon would go to South Africa, India, or Europe and then come back. That is not the case anymore. It's still a problem. When we first started, there were 3 neurosurgeons for 70 million people. Now we have 7 neurosurgeons for 70 million people. So in distinction to America, where we have 1 neurosurgeon per 100,000 patients. So it's a real population problem. We still haven't caught up to what their needs are. But yes, we are making progress, and this is, as the Governor General said at the meeting we were just at, this is not a sprint, this is a marathon, and I can attest to that.
So we know that they're learning a lot from you, and it's growing, and that's exciting, but I would imagine you learned something as well. What have you learned?
Well, as you can imagine, somebody comes wandering off the mountain with a tumor that is 8 times the size of what we normally deal with here in the United States. We're learning how to deal with exceedingly different kinds of pathology or lesions or tumors than what we, frankly, have to deal with here in the United States. So that's, from a surgeon's perspective, incredibly challenging. And when you can get the patients through these heroic efforts, it's obviously kind of spiritually, it makes you feel good. It's spiritually uplifting. So we're learning that. I think more importantly, we're also learning how to work with another culture. You've heard about the concept of global health. You know, we're just neurosurgeons, so we call it global neurosurgery. It's really important when you go into a program like this to not just sort of come in heavy-handed and say, you know, we're Americans, we know what to do, just be quiet and do what we say. It's more of, okay, we're trying to understand what the limitations are, and then how can we work together to try to come up with solutions for diseases that, you know, we have here, but we don't have them to the magnitude or the size or the seriousness that they have to deal with.
When you started off as a young doctor, a surgeon, Dr. Steed, did you ever think that you would have the kind of reach that you've got now? I mean, what an amazing program you've described in Tanzania.
This has always been an aspiration of mine. When I was when I first started in this, there was the Doctors Without Borders. That, unfortunately, is more centered around craniofacial, cleft lip, and cleft palate, which is a little bit easier to do. The complexity of doing neurosurgery means that you need intensive care units, anesthesiologists that specialize in neuroanesthesia, the whole series of things, radiation therapy that specializes in brain tumors, chemotherapy. So it's a much more difficult care package because it's nowadays is all integrated. So it took us a little bit longer. Fortunately, neurosurgery as an organization has the foundation for the education of international neurosurgeons. And that is a little bit of a help in terms of, you know, we didn't go walking in there just saying, you know, hi, I'm somebody from Weill Cornell, New York City. We came in saying that we work with organized neurosurgery, and that, I think, facilitated the relationship. But, yes, I pinch myself every time I get to go. It's such a rewarding experience. The physicians, the nurses, the support staff over there are just so willing to be – they just sponge up, soak up the material. I just wish that we could provide them with more neurosurgeons and also more equipment.
So having said that and seeing the success in Tanzania, is the Brain and Spine Center looking at similar programs maybe in other countries?
Absolutely. We one of my faculty goes on to Antigua and is working on an epilepsy program down there. We just had the Governor General come up after the hurricane and give a talk with us. Another one of my faculty members goes down to Mexico on an annualized basis. We've looked into a program in Nairobi. But I will also say that there are other neurosurgery programs, like Duke has a program going on in Uganda. There's some other programs going on in Ecuador, throughout the world. So this Foundation for the Education of Neurological Surgeons is International Neurological Surgeons is quite broad and diverse. So not only we, but many other institutions are trying to do this.
Exciting stuff, that's for sure. Dr. Philip Steeg, the chairman and founder of the Weill Cornell Brain and Spine Center. Thanks so much.
Kate, it's always a pleasure.
The answer to being in control of your own healthcare is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. I'm here to tell you about GCNTelecare.com, a team of board-certified doctors assisting you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Within 15 minutes of registration, care your family can afford. Revolutionizing the healthcare industry, virtual consulting, providing diagnosis of non-emergency medical issues by phone or secure video on computer or smart mobile devices. GCNTelecare.com, virtual care anywhere.